When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
The living room is where you make life's most beautiful memories. But your sofa shouldn't be the one remembering them. The new life-resistant, high-performance furniture collection from Ashley is designed to withstand all the spills, slip-ups, and muddy paws that come with the best parts of life. Ashley high-performance sofas and recliners are soft, on-trend, and easy to clean. Shop the high-performance furniture in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
Lay. Sir. Yeah. Yeah.
Kane is in the building.
Yeah. It's alright, already the show goes on all night. Till the morning we dream so long. Anybody ever wonder when they would see the thunder? Just remember when you come up. The show goes on.
And welcome back, everybody, to another episode of the Always Pressing PGA DFS Podcast, previewing the 2022 HPE Houston Open. You can find the podcast on Twitter at Always Press DFS. I am at BDentric, and my co-host, as always, on Twitter at DFS Golf Gods. Jesse, how we doing, man?
Doing well, dude. I didn't realize that. I'm just so used to the Shell Houston Open, man. Yeah. I'm always going to call it the Shell Houston Open.
I can picture the logo on the little lake on the around the 18th green right now as we speak. But it's also that Shell Houston Open used to be before the Masters, and now this is in November.
Yeah, so. I just realized I hadn't been the Shell Houston Open since 2017. I was looking for my saved model on Fantasy Labs, and I couldn't find it because it was under Shell Houston. So it tells you right there.
Yeah, I gave up on Fantasy National trying to put all the sponsors in there because I know it's going to change 40,000 times. So like, just Mayakoba is just Mayakoba.
Right, that's exactly correct. That's exactly the way to go.
It's just going to be a mess right now. So this one, I believe it's another new sponsor, but it's a same location, which is good. But speaking of last week's Mayakoba, Hovland repeats. He's now won three times basically out of the country. So he's got that going for Puerto Rico and then two Mayakoba titles. He got the job done. His accounts were very entertaining, talking about how he learned how to chip and spent time chipping because he admitted he's very bad. That was good. Gooch was there. Some of the other big dogs were there. Otherwise, to me, it was a frustrating event because my guys all tanked on Friday. But what were your thoughts for the week?
Same. I didn't pay a whole heck of a lot of attention to it because of the fact that going into the weekend, my lineup was – I played one lineup, and that's all I've been playing here recently – was dead. It was a star studded leaderboard, especially for a fall swing event. Hovland, JT, Scheffler, Wolf, Neiman up there. Sergio made a little run. And I didn't pay a whole heck of a lot of attention, but back to back for Hovland, pretty good.
Yeah, my 20 max had a lot of guys at minus three, and one of them named Jonathan Vegas that said minus four when he finished his round. And then like 5 minutes later, all of a sudden, he magically had a bogey on the ninth hole to finish at minus three. I was over the moon going, yes, that a boy, Johnny, you're in at four, we're golden. And then it got shot down so quickly. And that's the beauty of having no shot tracker. So, we have that this week in Houston. We have that. And that's one thing I'll talk about when we talk about picks for DK and like the model. I really had to click on guys and see how they've done recently because the model doesn't have any data basically for like the last month almost, it feels like. So some guys are they're rating out very well, but I'm like, knowing how we've talked and played, they haven't played that well. So what's going on here? And then, they played horrible lately. So you got to keep that in mind as well. But let's just get going. Let's get into the Houston Open. So why don't you hit us with some past event history?
Yeah. So last year, Carlos Ortiz won 13 under, two shots over DJ and Hideki. 2019 was Lonto, 14 under, one shot over Harrington and Hubbard. 2018 was Ian Poulter, had to win to get into the Masters. 19 under in a playoff over Bo Hostler. Russell Henley won in 2017, 20 under, three shots over Kang. Yeah, let's just say Kang.
Was that the one he cheated at? Or is that a different one? Can't remember now.
Maybe different. Herman has won this in the past. JB Holmes, Matt Jones, Phil Mickelson, Anthony Kim, 2010 winner. That's about it.
Yeah, a lot of guys used to play this event because, like we said earlier, it was before the Masters, and they tried to kind of make the golf course kind of resemble Augusta the best they could, like with the green complexes and other aspects to kind of get you ready for the big event in Augusta. Last year, it was before the Masters, even this time of year because of COVID, and the Masters got switched around and yada, 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 and DJ went and won the Masters, of course. But this year, it's just in November. Obviously, no Masters next week is what it is. We still got a pretty awesome field here. As it's the second year, last year was the first year, it was at the Memorial Park Golf Course, where it's at again this year. It's a public course, which is pretty cool. That's always kind of fun to see the guys play a public course, even though we know if Jesse or I walked up there to play, it cost us a few $100, most likely to go play. So not your normal public course, but still pretty good stuff there. It's a par 70, 7,400 yards, though. So it's a long, long par 70. There are 5 par 3s, 11 par 4s, and 3 par 5s on this golf course, Bermuda greens. And they're usually pretty fast, Bermuda greens. So keep that in mind. It's, you don't have to like be a bomber, but you're definitely trying to tank it out there if you can. Otherwise, it's a big long iron course. There's not a ton of trees in the way. They're out there. But the biggest thing is there's key bunkers placed throughout the golf course, a little bit of water here and there. But it's basically you have to take advantage of the par 5 scoring. Pretty much anybody, if you look at the top 10 leaderboard last year, everybody but DJ played very well on the par fives. If DJ played well on the par fives, he wins the thing. So you have to play well on the par fives. Like I said, there's only 3 of them. One is 625 yards, one's 587, one is 576. And when you look at these par fives, the third hole is a 36.5% birdie rate. The eighth hole is a 28% birdie rate. And the 16th is a 25%. So there's only a couple other holes that rate better than that in the par fours. So you got to take care of the par fives. Most of the par fours, like 8 of them, are 440 yards or more. So you're going to see 450 to 500 long iron play, as I said. And then the par threes, I said there's 5 par threes. 3 of them are over 200 yards. So it's a long iron golf course, a nice precision golf course. And you want to be on certain parts of the green with your shots. That's where like they want to bomb it, but you want to still be kind of accurate in the fairway for the most part, so you can hit your right your shots in, because these greens are tricky quick greens. That's why the scoring, like Jesse mentioned last year, and you'll see some other guys, wasn't tricky. I think it was +3 was the cut line last year. And if you're not scoring on the par fives, you're not going to win this thing. So what stats are you looking at this week, Jesse?
Yeah, I mean, distance matters, greens and regulation, of course. A little bit of course history there. And par five scoring, like you mentioned, I mean, it's like you got to be able to do it. But I do think it's a good week to weight distance pretty heavily. I mean, if you look at like, I mean, not all these winners obviously are, or at least the past couple winners. Ortiz, I'm not really sure, but Lonto hits it far. DJ obviously does. Hideki. So, yep.
Yeah. Distance will help tremendously. Yes, there's no... no doubt about it when you look at that, for sure. Before we get into the DraftKings picks, as always, fansharesports.com, they've been with us from pretty much the beginning, so go check them out, fansharesports.com, promo code ALWAYSPRESS for 20% off the package of your choice. And you can do all kinds of different searches and things to see what you're looking for here. But just guys coming in good form over the last 6 events on average DK scoring. Joel Dahman leads the way at 110 DK points. Obviously, we've been playing birdie fest of late, people, so keep that in mind. Not so much a birdie fest this week. Sung J.M. is 2nd, Sam Burns 3rd, Taylor Pendrith, your boy, is 4th, Aaron Wise is 5th. So keep those ones in mind. And then the last 6 events on Bermuda greens, Sam Burns leads the way, followed by Pendrith, Hoffman, Cam Smith, Adam Scott in your top 5 as well. All right, Jesse, let's have a little fun. Let's talk a little DraftKings here. And we got 7 guys, 10K and above. You got Burns at 11-1, Scheffler 10-9, Sungjae 10-7, Finau 10-6, Wolf 10-4, Cam Smith 10-2, and Tyrell Hatton at 10,000. So who are you looking at here?
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to ignore Sam Burns up top there. Finished 7th here last year. Come off a 5th-place finish at the CJ Cup. Had a win a couple weeks ago at the Sanderson Farm, just playing really solid golf. Doesn't surprise me that he's the highest price here. Sungjae at 10-7. He did make the cut here last year. Has 2 straight top 10s, including a win at the Shriners a couple weeks back. I really like Matt Wolf. I should have played him last week, and he started really strong and had a bad Saturday round, but finished fifth. So that's back-to-back top fives for him. All three top 20s in his last three starts. And he's never played here, but that's fine. And then Cam Smith at 10-2, never played here as well. Come off a 10th place finish at the CJ Cup, but playing really solid golf. But if I really would focus on Matt Wolf. I think he's probably going to get a win before too long.
Yeah, Wolf's starting to come back into the form. We've talked about it in recent weeks. You know, he had that tough run, starting to get it together, though. So he ranks fifth in my model. So he's definitely going to be on the board, and he's going to be pretty popular this week, you'd imagine. But a very solid play. But, yeah, I don't mind Sam Burns. I think Scottie Scheffler, I loved what I saw with him last week because he came in playing some really kind of, I wouldn't say sketchy golf, it felt like sketchy golf. After the Ryder Cup, wasn't really locked in, and he really dealt us last time. Like, he missed that cut at the Shriners after the Ryder Cup, put them 38th at the CJ Cup, 4th at the Mayakoba. He gained 9.2 strokes total last week. So he was striping it, to say the least. And Texas course, Texas boy, I like some Scottie Scheff this week. Don't mind Sungjae, and this is one of the guys that are one of the many, but it really made me double take when you start looking at your like models that don't have the recent stats, because he ranks 52nd in my model. And I'm like, there's no way. He's been playing so much better than 52nd. He loves playing on Bermuda. He gains almost a half a stroke just putting alone on Bermuda greens. But, yeah, you start breaking him down even better. A ninth of the CJ, first of the Shriners, 34th at Sanderson, 20th Tour Championship, third BMW, 16th. The boy's playing great golf. So the statistical models are going to be a little skewed. So you have to do a little more research this week. But, yeah, you can't go wrong with any of these guys. I'm not going to go over all of them. I'm going to have little bits of all of them in my 20 max for sure. I love the Wolf call. Wolf and Scheffler will be my top two favorites in this range. But one thing I'll mention in the 9 and the 10K range is at least early ownership projections. There's going to be a ton of chalk up here, a ton of chalk in the 9 and 10K range. As you go into the 8s and the 7s and everything, it really starts to narrow out and gets really, really kind of spread out everywhere. So if you like a guy, don't worry about the chalk, is what I'm trying to say. Like Burns and Sungjae, with two guys in the 9K range, are the four highest projected golfers right now in this tournament. But honestly, you can be different in so many other lineups, so I wouldn't too much to worry about that. 9K range, Brooks Koepka, the guy that helped remodel this golf course at $9,900, Scott 96, Neiman 95, Gooch 93, Wise 92, Ortiz withdrew, and then Pat Reed is 9,000. So who do you got in this range?
Ortiz withdrew?
This afternoon, yes. I saw it about 3 hours ago. You were busy being a working man, but I saw the Rob Bolton tweet, and he withdrew, and Johnny Huh is it.
There you go. I didn't realize that. It's good info, though. Defending champion, so obviously yep. I was going to talk about him.
He's been battling back issues, because I think it was CJ Cup or whatever he withdrew, and then he tried to play, I think, Mayakoba.
He played last week, finished second.
Yeah, maybe he tweaked it again, or he's hungover and just wanted to stay in Mexico. You know, his local event, home event, just want to stay home. But then Texas defending champion, he went to school at in North Texas, so who knows?
There you go. Don't play Carlos Ortiz no matter what. Brooks Koepka at 99, miscut last week, fifth place here last year. But typically, when like at least the last couple times Brooks has missed a cut, he's backed it up with a second place finish, PGA Championship, a little bit different. And then missed the cut to Palmetto, backed up with a fourth place finish at the U.S. Open. I mean, obviously, those are majors, and Brooks plays better in majors or whatever. But with his course history and finishing fifth here, I actually like Brooks this week at 96. Adam Scott finished 32nd here last year, come off a top five at the CJ Cup. I think he's fine. Gooch, they just continue to play him, especially with the fourth place finish here last year. It's three straight top 11s for him. Well, four straight top 11s, excuse me, and he's got two top fives in there. So I like Gooch a lot this week as well. Aaron Wise, I think I talked shit about him last week, and that's why he played so well. He finished 15th, and it was really just he started really strong and then had an okay round and then okay round and then okay round. But, you know, three straight top 15s for him, pretty solid there. And I was going to talk about Carlos Ortiz, but I'm not going to now because he's not in the field. So,
yep, you don't need to worry about that one. But, I mentioned there's two guys in this range that are be quite popular, at least at the moment, and that's Gooch and Wise, both for really good reasons. Like you mentioned Gooch, he's got fourth place here last year and then at the other Houston Open a location the year before. So he's coming in phenomenal form. So zero problem with Gooch. Wise, he was my most rostered player last week, and I was really excited at the end of Thursday. And then he's kind of like you said, it was an okay round, and just kind of got through the weekend for a 15th. But he's first in my model, still in this one. He's fifth in approach, third and birdie or better, fourth in DK scoring, third on the par threes, 200 plus yards in this field. So he rates out very, very well for me. So I'll be going back to Aaron Wise. He's going to be very popular, though, so I might not be as heavy on him this go-around. Or it's the old saying, if like it's a 20%, you know, rosters, roster them 40%. Or like you go over the total type theory. So either go under or go over. Don't be the same is what I'm trying to say. Wise is a guy I'm looking at. But back to the top, I think Brooks is a very nice player. Nice bounce back spot. We've seen it time and time again in the last year or so when he's quote-unquote struggling, you get him at a super low roster rate. It's crazy. And we know Brooks can win. In reality, if you looked at this just like players in this event, you could say Brooks is the best player. So when he's feeling it. So I think Brooks at 9,900 is a really good price tag. He should be in the 10Ks, I thought, in this event. So I got no problem with him. I love Neiman this week. He's projected to come in pretty low roster. Like Brooks is fourth in my model. Neiman's eighth in my model. If you like driving distance, Neiman's fourth in this field over the last 24 rounds, and he's seventh in par five scoring. So two things we want a lot of. Neiman does very, very well. And then Patty Reed, man, I'm going to keep going back to him. I know it's kind of been a weird kind of finish to the year ever since he got that pneumonia or whatever, but I'll run back some Patty Reed. 56 last week, kind of fell apart over the weekend, but second in Bermuda. The CJ Cup is 68th, but we're going back to him. It's a local event for him. He's a seventh in my model. He's top 10 in everything but driving distance that I have checked off here. He's third in par four scoring that we're looking for, fifth in bogey avoidance, which is very big this week. And then first in DK scoring over the last 24 rounds. And I don't think people are going to realize that with Patrick Reed. But that also doesn't count Maya Koba and everything. But I know it might actually count DK scoring. I'll keep that one in mind. But I like Patrick Reed to be – Reed, Neiman, and Brooks are some nice pivots there. Even Adam Scott if you're feeling frisky. But I just never Adam Scott type thing. All right. 8K range for you. Got Russell Henley at 89, Kokrak 88, Leishman 87, Bez 86, McNeely 85, Seamus 84, Tringali 83, Lowry 82, Griffin 81, and Max Homa's back at 8,000, Jesse.
Yeah. I kind of had Russell Henley checked off, but I've taken him off. I mean, 29th here last year and not great finishes coming in. So you may want to bet him to win since I just said I have zero interest.
I've been torn on him like all day looking at him. Like, The tournament history is great, but the recent form is kind of like sketch.
Yeah. I mean, for that price, it's not
horrible.
Not terrible, but Mark Leishman would be the first guy here for me in this range. 38th CJ Cup, third and fourth in his last two starts. He's never played here, but tends to play well. And from what I remember down in Texas, can play in the wind. It's one thing to consider this week is, you know, is it going to be windy as it typically is in Texas. So keep that in mind too. McNeely at 85, 20th here last year, come off 11th place finish at the Maya Koba Championship. Has made three cuts in a row and really made a bunch of cuts with just one all the way back to May of last year or this year now. Tringali at 83. You know, he missed the cut last week and it was I think it was right on the number, so it's not like he played terrible. Was coming in really hot and really good form there. 29th here last year. I think you can probably get him at some lower ownership this week. Lowry at 82, 11th here last year. Coming off a missed cut last week as well, where he, I think it missed it right on the number or close. What was the par last week?
The par was 71, I believe.
Okay, that's why then. Okay, so he shot 71, 69, so 200. What was the cut, three?
Cut was four.
There you go. Maybe he shot three, if I know. Either way, barely missed the cut. Didn't play terrible. I think it's fine to go back to Lowry this week. And what about Max, man? How are you feeling about that?
I'm very torn on him. Like, he ranks 29th in my model. Hasn't played pretty much of this fall swing at all.
He has a win at the Fortnite.
That's right, at the Fortnite, but he's kind of been laying low for the most part. What, did he play Shriners maybe?
CJ. 72nd, which I think is last.
Yeah,
and close to last.
In a no-cut event. yeah, we're just going to let that one go. But, you know, he's sixth in bogey avoidance in this field. He's 21st in par five. Like, his stats don't light up the board, but at 8K for a guy that can – I wouldn't be shocked if he's continuing to win this thing.
Yeah,
like,
I wouldn't.
He's
that
good.
Yeah.
And he's got driving distance. Like, I was surprised actually looking at he's ranked. Oh no, he's where'd he go? He's 40th in driving distance. But I know I've seen Max pipe him. So, like, if he can play Riviera pretty good, which takes some distance, this went a long iron play. It could be something to think. I'm not saying it's a course comp, but you just think of places he's done well. He's done well at Quail Hollow, another longer, long iron course. That can be a big one as well. So I'm intrigued, and he's going to come in super low owned. Super low owned. Like, I'm not giving out numbers because I think it's probably wrong, but he's got the green icon on Fantasy National because he's coming in super low in single digits. So definitely someone to look at there. I'm with you on that. For me, it's another very interesting range. I think Kokrak at 88 is a fun one. You know, the fall swing hasn't been great. He's kind of picked and choose his events, but he finished the year on a banger. He's going back to Texas here, where we've seen him play some decent golf from time to time. He hasn't played here the last 2 years, but prior to that, he made three straight cuts, not great finishes, but he made three straight cuts. He's second in my model. When he gets the flat stick going, it's very strong. Good driving distance. Par five score. Is second in the field in this event. So I think Kokrak at 88 could be a nice one to check off. McNeely's one, like Sungjae, like I mentioned, his recent stats have been very good. They're just not in the system. So he ranks out poorly, if you look at it that way. But he went to the 11th place finish last week. He's played great here in his two times in the Houston Open. So I think McNeely at 85 is a very, very good one as well. I'll keep running back Seamus Power. This guy loves Bermuda. He loves tough courses. This is a tough course. He's playing phenomenal golf right now. He's ninth in par three, scoring 200 plus, 25th in par five. Like, he's not lighting the world on fire, but he's getting the job done, and he's good at bogey avoidance. He's number 26 in this field in bogey avoidance. Cam Tringali's number one in this field in bogey avoidance. That stood out and shocked me, to tell you the truth. But he rates out beautifully as well. So I love this 8K range. You can make pivots all over the place. Tringali, Lowry, we love him pretty much all the time because he's underappreciated. So I like Lowry quite a bit as well. But 8K range is going to be very, very solid and a great place to mix and match. Like I said, when you start to get in this 8K range, outside like Lowry is kind of popular right now, everybody else is pretty low owned. So you can take the chalk up top. 7,500 to 79, you got Hughes, EVR, Varner, Mito, Woodland, Grace, Streelman, Johnny Vegas, and Chad Ramey, Jesse.
Yeah, start top with Mackenzie Hughes at 79. Seventh here last year. Fifth at the Zozo, 25th CJ. He hasn't missed a cut since the Memorial back in June. Just playing solid golf. I like him quite a bit. Mito at 77. Obviously never played here because this is his rookie year. Did miss the cut last week. Shot 78. Yep. I don't know what the fuck happened on Friday. So wasn't a close missed cut by any means. But I think it's fine to play him at 7,700. My model likes him decently well. Chad Ramey at 7,500. Somebody that the model does like. He's been playing. I'm not really sure who he is. I'm guessing he's a Corn Ferry grad, or yeah, maybe he's still in the Corn Ferry tour. But 17th at the Bermuda, 14th at the Shriners, and 63rd at the Sanderson's Farms. He did miss the cut at the Fortnite, but that's pretty solid. Three or four made cuts in this fall swing for a guy who is not going to be owned at 7,500 bucks. A lot of people will play Vegas, 44th here last year, coming off a missed cut, but it's just Vegas, so he's always a GPP play. I mean, really, on just about every golf course there is.
Yeah, he's ninth in driving distance. He's first in off the tee the last 24 rounds. That's what keeps him in play, because you look at his other stats. Yeah, he 93rd in bogey avoidance. We know he likes to bogey some holes. Like, following him on your app, it's birdie, birdie, bogey, bogey, birdie, bogey. It's just like, yeah. Dude. Like,
he scores DraftKings points, man.
Oh, a ton of them.
He's, if he makes the cut.
He's eighth in this field in DraftKings scoring. So yeah. Don't you worry about that. So, yeah, he's always GPP relevant. That's 100% true. I'm with you on that one. A few other guys to look at here, though. I think where do I have him? Gary Woodland. His stats look really good. I know his play is, like, so up and down right now. He's one of those guys you just feel like it's close to clicking, and he comes at a value. So in tournaments, I'll take some Gary Woodland, even in an event like this. I know he's played well here in the past, I believe. He hasn't played since 2016, where he finished 33rd. But a guy coming in, you know, it's made cut, missed cut, missed cut. It's all over the board with his past history. But I think Woodland at 76 is decent. Brendan Grace at 76 as well. He's fourth in strokes gained total, fifth in DK scoring, seventh in birdie or better, eighth in bogey avoidance, 15th in par five. So he should do enough to at least get you to the weekend and maybe make a run, especially if it's windy. I think Grace is a sneaky ball striker when it comes to that. So give me Grace at 76. And then I like Ramey a lot. I'm torn on him right now. I'm torn on a lot of the Corn Ferry guys because this isn't a birdie fest. So that's where I'm concerned. Maybe that brings more of them into the world. Let's see how that plays. But he is a very good golfer, so I'm with you there. I'm just kind of torn on him at this point in time. 7K to 74, Jesse, who you liking?
I mean, I don't know. Is it Jason Day week? I think that's kind of the question.
Everybody's talking about him. Everybody's talking.
Are they?
Yeah, let me tell you what his projection looks like ownership-wise. It's only about 6%, though, so everyone's talking about him, but no one wants to click on the button there.
Yeah, I mean, it's 7,400, Jason Day.
Finished seventh here, I think, last year.
He did. That's kind of, I think, what really draws me to him more than anything else. I mean, you know, coming in, he's 64th miscut, 14th, 10th, 44th.
Sounds like three straight miscuts.
I mean, like, it's very sketch. If we look back last year, you know, he finished seventh here, obviously, last year. Before that, he was 60th WD miscut. So it's not like he was coming in with great form last year when he finished seventh. He was $9,000 last year. You're getting a huge discount on him this year. I mean, in GPPs, I think it's worth a shot because you just never know. I mean, he's a lot better than historically speaking, he's a lot better than everybody around him here. Pendrith at 72 missed the cut last week. I think that was a lot of, like, it's hard to bounce back when you almost win like your first event. So it's probably just a lot of mental fatigue. So I like going back to him this week at 7,200. Got the weekend off. Taylor Moore at 7,100, never played here, but two straight make cuts for him, 24th and 17th in his last two events, the Shriners and the Sanderson Farm. So I think he's fine at 71. And then Dahman, like you mentioned before, I think you mentioned him in the Fanshare deal.
DK that, scoring.
Yeah. I mean, the results aren't really there. 45th, 24th, 51st, 31st. But, yeah, I mean, he's outscoring his – like, he was, you know, 30 points above his expected at $7,000 last week and 38 the week before that. So, he's putting up the points, a lot of birdies. So, 7,000, I think, you know, he's worth a shot for sure.
Yeah, I'm with you there. The weird thing about Jason Day, I was looking at his recent. So you mentioned the 64th miscut. 64th of CJ Cup in October.
Which is a no-cut event, right?
Yeah. Previously, though, it was the Northern Trust in August, the British Open in July. So he was not playing much. He was laying low, so I don't know where his game's at.
His back issues, man. Just
You just never know with him. So I can see in a GPP for sure. I know a lot of people like him this week, so I'm curious to see how that plays out. A few guys for me, though. I think Charlie Hoffman at 73, 6th in my model, 5th in birdie or better, 18th in par 5 scoring, 19th in driving distance, 12th in DK scoring. I'll go to him at 73. Poulter I like a lot, too. Good job at just, you know, making pars, which will be good this week, getting your birdies from time to time. He's 17th in strokes gained total, so he's keeping it in play, making things happen. So I like Poulter at 73. Griot, I just can't do it. Like, I kept looking at him and looking at him. I just can't do it. But a few others. I got Pendrith checked as a bounce back. I'm with you on that one. I think Danny Willett's interesting. He's 14th in par 5 scoring, 25th in birdie or better in this field. And like, I'm like sitting there staring at him. So I opened up his little page here to look some more. He's not great on Bermuda, I'll tell you that much. But he's good in wind. He's good in difficult conditions. But one thing I noticed is just overall strokes gained. He's playing very well. His biggest issue is off the tee, and that seems to be kind of playing itself out of late. 27th of the Mayakoba, miscut at Bermuda, 21st of the Shriners, miscut at the Fortnite. It's over the board, but I know he's been playing good in Europe too. So I think he's an interesting GPP play at 72 on a place like this. You can have some fun, and I swore he withdrew last year here. So he has not played here. So keep an eye on that, but he could be interesting at 72. And then Ryan Palmer and Harry Higgs, two guys out of Texas. I think they're very, very, very much in play at $7,100 to get with Joel Dahman. So I like those three down below. If you don't want to get into the 6K range, Palmer, Higgs, and Dahman would be a couple guys I'd look at. Question for you, though, because this is another one that, you know, he ranks 20th in my model. All the stats look great. I know he hasn't been playing good, so I looked at his page. Not pretty. What are you doing, Brian Harman?
At 24th here last year.
Yep.
Miscut, 72nd miscut, last three starts. Yeah, it's sketch.
His last five events, he's minus 4.2 strokes gained total. Like, it's been bad. And like, if you have to be off the tee, and your last five events, minus 1.2 off the tee, minus 2.4 on approach. Two things we'd like really good here.
Yeah. I mean, he doesn't really hit it very far either. So
no.
It's probably why the model doesn't like him very much. But, you know, like last year, he finished 24th here and was hitting it about 300 off the tee, hit about 58% of the fairways and about 68% of the greens. It's just, you know, I don't know where he's at, but that comparatively speaking to some of those guys, you know, around him, I think he makes sense. And, you know, if you're going to play a large field GPP with 150 entries.
Yeah, no, I just kept looking at, I've looked at him like three or four different times going, God, I always play Brian Harman, but he's, I'm so torn on him right now. So right now he's not my player pool.
I don't like in a 20 max. I don't know that it's worth the risk. Cause he's not going to be high owned. So, you know, if he does hit, you're not dead in the water.
True that. Talk about guys that aren't high owned. Let's talk about the 6K guys where recent weeks it's been fun in the 6K range. Not as much this week.
Yeah, Luke List, start up top there. My model loves him for some reason. He did miss the cut here last year, coming off a missed cut, eighth place at the Zozo, and missed cut before that. So why exactly, I don't know. I guess just because he can't putt worth a shit, and I don't ever wait putters. Adam Long at 6,800, 11th place here last year. Talked about him last week as the kind of course history darling of last week, and he finished 22nd. You know, he's got another decent, I mean, one start, obviously, 11th place here last year. But he likes the place, obviously. JJ Spahn at 6,800 bucks, man. I mean, you know, I was looking just like a little bit and like, damn, JJ Spahn's up there again. Because if, like, the Bermuda, he was in contention. He finished 7th. And then last week, he finished 27th. And it's just really because of a bad Sunday around. He shot 73. But played solid golf for the first 3 days. And before, and at the Bermuda, he played terrible the first day and then played good golf the next 3 days. So, I mean, he probably was in that terrible draw at the Bermuda where it was 50 mile an hour winds or whatever in the beginning. But 6,800 bucks, I mean, I think you could do a lot worse than him. If we go on down, Vincent Whaley at 6,400. It's been a while since I talked about him, but 64th, 7th, 65th in his last three starts. So, three straight made cuts for him. He's never played here, but don't mind him. Tyler Duncan at 6,300. Missed cut here last year, but two straight made cuts for him, including a 14th place finish a couple weeks ago. And then last but not least, my model likes Paul Barjon.
Yeah. Now we're talking.
39th, 42nd, 54th, 42nd. His last four starts.
Yep.
That goes all back to the Barbasol. But the last, you know, the more kind of recent ones, he's made two cuts in a row, so. Hitting a lot of greens, and if you can ever scramble a little bit and get the putter going, you know, I think he hits the ball far.
Yes, he does. He's a good Korn Ferry scorer. Good Korn Ferry scorer.
334 off the tee at the Barracuda. Averaged 316 off the tee at the Sanderson Farms. I mean, he obviously bombs it. So, I mean, that with distance being a factor this week, at $6,000 stone minimum, Barjon is my stone minimum play of the week.
Yeah, no, I love it. I have him checked off as well. So we'll be on that one together. Because if you're just punting that one, if you want another punt, though, I'm going backwards. I'll go backwards at the list here. At 6,100 bucks, he ranked 37th in my model, 20th in birdie or better, 21st in DK scoring, 4th in par 5 scoring. There's some sketchiness because he's 6,100, of course. So I had to look even farther. He's pretty decent on Bermudas, which is good. If it's windy, he's very good. Miscut of the Bermuda, miscut of the Sanderson. 22nd the Fortnite, 20th at the Houston Open here last year. He's played a lot in Europe. He's played on the Korn Ferry Tour, and his name is Dowie Vanderwalt. Just going to throw it out there. If you want to get weird, a 20th place finisher last year and a guy that can par 5 score with the best of them, and he played some good Korn Ferry golf, he's 6,100 as well. So he's a guy I could see being somewhat in play. I was looking at Nick Watney because he's actually playing pretty good golf right now. Not sure I want to go to him, but he's 6,200 if you need to. I do think Jason Duffner at 63 is very much in play. He might not win you this thing, but I think making the cut is a very, very solid look for him at 63. But if you want more of the GPP boomer bust, we talked about him a lot. He's 24th in this field in DK scoring, but he's 6,300 bucks. That's Sam Ryder. He's a par 5 scorer, very volatile golfer, as we know. As recent finishes, miscut at the Mayakoba, 7th at the Zozo, miscut at the Shriners, 51st, 58th, miscut. But the dude scores and scores a ton. So at 6,300 bucks, he's a good GPP play if you're going cheap. Denny McCarthy starting to putt really well again, likes to putt on Bermuda a lot. So he's 6,600. Scott Piercy at 67, first in the field in par 5 scoring, 2nd in birdie or better, 6th in DK scoring, 18th in par 3s, 200 plus. He's 67, got recent at this event as well. That's very strong. If you want to go recent tournament history over recent form, James Hahn's playing rough golf, but he's been very good at this event. So keep that in mind. And then Thigala, Knox, and Sink at 69. You mix and match there. I think Thigala's got your biggest GPP upside there, where guys like Knox and Sink should maybe get you to the finish line, but not sure they'll get you the whole cha-cha. So keep that in mind. But guys under 7K, if you want to pay up top, you're going to need at least probably one guy down there. So keep that in mind. All right, recapping things, Jesse. Who's your top play 10K and above?
I'm going to say Wolf.
You got Wolf. I'm gonna go Scotty Scheffler. Give me Scotty Scheff. Trust the model, Bubba. Trust the model. 9K range. Who's your top guy?
Gooch.
I'll go Aaron Wise. Going Aaron Wise. Gonna be chalky though. 8K range. Who you got?
I'm gonna say Leishman.
I'm gonna go with Shane Lowry on this one. 75 to 79.
I'm gonna say Ramey.
I don't mind that one. I'm torn in this range in a big way. I'm going to go with Brendan Grace right now. That's who I'm going to go with. I was tempted to go Gary Woodland. 7K to 74.
Pendrith.
I like that. I'm going to go with Charlie Hoffman. Then who's your top 6K play?
I'm going to say Adam Long.
I like that. I am going to go with where'd he go? I'm going to go with Sam Ryder. Let's go boom or bust. Give me all the DK points. Just make it to the weekend. That's all I ask. Make it to the weekend. All right. If you're starting a cash game lineup this week, Jesse, who are you starting with?
Yeah, Cash is a little tough this week, in my opinion. I like Tringali at 8,300. I think that's a solid play for Cash. And, you know, I would probably throw in somebody like Wise if I could. And if you're looking for somebody down, you know, kind of lower, somebody like Dahlman. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's a little bit sketch. If you're all the way down there in $7,000 range, I would try to stay in the $8,000 range. But I think there's a lot of plays in that $8,000 range that are cash worthy. McNeely, Leishman.
Yep. I'm going to go with McNeely, Seamus Power, Patrick Reed. Start out with those three. If you're starting a GPP, though, where are you starting out?
I like Wolf, Mackenzie Hughes, and then, you know, sprinkle on somebody like Chad Ramey.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Wolf. Give me Aaron Wise, and then drop on down to Joel Dahman. Start with those three and see where the night takes you. All right, DK Sportsbook time. Jesse, who you got winning this thing?
I like Wolf at 25. I think that's
good odds.
Not terrible. I mean, he's shorter odds than Gooch, and he's arguably been playing better than Gooch, at least over the last couple of events. And then scrolling down, it just starts to get like
murky.
You know, fucking sketch. But Brooks at 28.
That's pretty good.
I think that's worth it. A little dabble there. Tringali at 50, may not terrible. I mean, what do you think about Barjon at 14-1 for a top 20?
I would sprinkle that. Let's see what his top 40 is. I was kind of curious.
Five.
Still not bad. Yeah. If you think he's going to make the cut, I think he's going to be good enough to get a top 40. I'll tell you that much.
Yeah. Made worth a little shot there.
Because top 20 is tricky. The odds are good. Those are really good odds, all things considered. Better odds than Sam Burns winning the whole thing. So,
yeah.
But if you're talking winners, like – Patrick Reed at 40. Like, I know he's kind of been iffy with his form. 40-1 is pretty damn good.
Yeah.
Like, for a guy of his caliber, I like the Tringali call. Same with Max Homa at 50. That's another one.
Yeah, I had Max checked off too at 50. I just don't know if I would like to bet him at this event, you know.
Yeah.
But
he is kind of, but yeah.
I mean, he just won recently and that kind of shit. But yeah, 50 on him is not terrible for a recent winner. And he's, you know, I mean, one guy we didn't really even hardly talk about was Finau at 25.
Yeah, I'm going to definitely have some of him in my 20 max. Like, I don't know how much just yet, but he's a guy that he's one of the ownership guys I was talking about. Like, he's projected to be about 11%, but that's the lowest in the 10K range. Like, yeah. The 10K range is all 10%. Like I said, they're all popular. They're all getting played. So pretty much 9K and above, they're all 10% or more. So just expect it. Don't be surprised. But yeah, Finau for sure can be an interesting one. Now I get why everybody likes Jason Day. He's 100-1, finished seventh here last year. Like, you can get him at 14-1 for a top five. You can get him 6-1 for a top 10, which I guess I get the appeal if you think he's going to show up. It's still a pretty sketchy show up, to be honest. Yeah. But it's interesting to say the least. I think top 20 and top 40 though are some interesting names you can peek at. Like, let's top 20. I'm going to just do the old F there. Dominant. plus 400. I kind of like that. Kind of like that. I want to tell you the truth. But should be a fun week, to say the least. Final thoughts about the Houston Open?
I don't, besides just keep the eye on the old weather, just in case. Never know. It's Texas.
It is Texas, and it gets windy. These courses aren't built with a lot of protection from the wind. And if it's windy, A, it's going to make obviously playing golf tougher, but it's going to make the putting part much tougher. These are fast greens. Usually these windy courses have slow greens. This does not. So keep that in mind as well. You can go full tilt. And we get shot tracker this week. So when you see a guy putting and he misses his putt by like 6 feet, yeah, just be prepared for that. Like if you have Luke List, you've been warned. Yeah. That's just how it's going to go.
It's going to happen.
If you got Luke List. Like at least once or twice around.
Or Sung Jae.
Or Sungjae, yeah. Some of these, like, where's Hideki when we need him?
Yeah.
So, it'd be so great. But it is funny because we make fun of their putting. But, like, if you just get any, like, I didn't have a model forever, as most listeners know. If you look at so many of these guys, like, that are so good at ball striking and so horrible at putting, it's just like, well, now I know why they don't win so much. I get it. I get it. It's pretty funny. It's like the old guys that couldn't hit free throws, but they could score 40 points a game. But we'll wrap it up there. If you guys have any questions, though, hit us up on Twitter at AlwaysPressDFS or at DFS Golf Gods or Jesse. I'm Matt Biedentrich. We have the free Fantasy DJs Discord if you have any questions over there. But if you can give a rate and review on iTunes, I truly would appreciate it. Or you can go watch us on the Fantasy DJs YouTube channel as well. But for now, good luck this week for the Houston Open. We'll be back with you guys next week with the Always Pressing PGA DFS podcast. Just remember when they come up, the show goes on.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
The living room is where you make life's most beautiful memories. But your sofa shouldn't be the one remembering them. The new life-resistant, high-performance furniture collection from Ashley is designed to withstand all the spills, slip-ups, and muddy paws that come with the best parts of life. Ashley high-performance sofas and recliners are soft, on-trend, and easy to clean. Shop the high-performance furniture in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.